Wouldn't it be great if three idiots picked apart each episode of your favorite podcast?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if we discussed the newest episode, ongoing theories, and predictions for what comes next?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if they didn't ruin the podcast at all and kept everything spoiler-free?
We don't do that. You've been warned.
Welcome to We Do That, a Taz Fancast. I'm your co-host, Chris.
My name is Jake. I am Jake. Welcome to the podcast. Me amo Jake.
And I'm your other co-host, Colin. Jake, I'm going to be honest, I don't know what that was.
Remember this episode? The thing that happened?
Yeah, I remember.
I don't.
That, but that wasn't, like, that's not what you did. Let's talk about that after the part where I say, this week's episode, Amnesty, another one.
17.
Just at 17.
All right. Synopsis for you guys. I'm going to be honest. I listened to this episode, like, the day it came out, and we're recording on Wednesday. It's been almost a week. And so I remember some Goatman stuff. And then the Mothman was there, or they took him to the Mothman, and he was Krampus for a while. And that's about all I got. They befriended the Goatman?
Yeah, I mean...
They interrogated him?
As bad of a job as you just did summarizing the episode, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
I mean,
broad strokes. That's what happened.
I mean, I guess Thacker got out and tried to bite some people.
Yeah, that was our central conflict of this episode. So maybe we can start there.
Well, but before we jump in, I have a little piece of meta. Maybe I should save it for the end, but I'm not going to. Just sort of meta comparison. I know. To kind of put us, I've been comparing. You know, obviously we've been comparing Amnesty to Balance. At this point in Balance, we were into our second lunar interlude.
Yeah.
We had just finished the Rockport Limited. And so I was trying to do a comparison of, like, how did I feel at the point of the end? And maybe this is better for the end of the show. But how did I feel at the end of Murder on the Rockport Limited versus how do I feel now? And just how the narratives of the two stories have gripped us, if they have at all. And I don't know if it's a completely fair comparison, because by episode 17 of Balance, I was not a listener yet. And so I listened to it all at once. And so I don't know that I would have a real fair comparison. I just marathoned it. But I thought it was interesting. Just at that point, it was still very much a comedy podcast, and we don't have nearly as much comedy.
Right, but it's funny. It's actually funny you bring that up, because I was thinking along the same lines today. I was sort of getting ready for the episode and trying to think about how I've been kind of down on it the last couple, and I want to try to find some good in it, and what was I enjoying, and maybe I want to talk about that. And what I really enjoyed this episode was the fun Griffin seemed to be having role-playing Billy, more so than he's had fun, I think, role-playing other NPCs. And it actually reminded me a lot of sort of the bits they got into with Jenkins on the Rockport Limited. Specifically, as I was going through moments, just when they're at the Mothman's trailer and he gives him the watch and Griffin just, and he puts it in his mouth.
Yeah.
He's a goat. Like, oh, that's funny. That's like totally inconsequent. You know, Griffin could have done a thing where, like, and we see a magical thing come out, you know, like launch into a Griffin bit, and really sort of leaned into the, no, you guys brought a goat man to life, or I brought a goat man to life and you made him talk and now he's your friend and he looks like Ryan Gosling. This is dumb. Let's go with it.
Yeah.
But Rockport Limited was one that stuck out to me as like really funny NPC characters. And I was trying to figure out if this is the first NPC in Billy that we've had really Griffin take this approach with. I wonder if because they were not meant to be story-centric, depending on how that first conflict went.
Yeah.
So maybe he, since he didn't have a idea in mind for what was going to happen, he can be a little more off the cuff and fun with Billy versus, say, Agent Stern or someone like that.
I think that definitely makes sense. I don't know that he had like a character arc set out for Billy. I don't know if he anticipated them befriending right. Billy.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good point. The other thing I wanted to mention, do we lose something by them not naming the chapters? Like I feel like a real loss is a loss of a sense of progression without titles like Murder on the Rockport Limited. And okay, that is now over. We're moving to a new chapter.
And even if there is simpler, like The Hunt for the Water Monster or something, just to give you that sort of finishing.
Right.
Finishing and restarting. I mean, obviously we do it, but for the nomenclature of it, I see missing that. It definitely would make our lives slightly easier when I do the intro bit where I forget what number episode we're on.
Right, and I mean, it's an overarching story anyway that I don't think we would lose sight of, that it's all one story, so I don't know. I would almost prefer not to have named it Amnesty at the outset and just done whatever chapter they're in, very much like Ballads.
But see, it's the very fact that it was designed from the beginning to be a continuous story, like one whole piece, that I don't have a problem with it. Because, and again, I got to move away from comparing it to Balance for so many reasons. And I mean, I do it too, but it's that was not at the beginning designed to be, you know, that the grand image of linking it all together wasn't quite there.
But so I would see that I would see that as a positive, honest. And I know we've talked about this before and there's no need to rehash it again, but I see obviously there was already continuity of characters and the whole world wasn't filled out yet, but we were playing the same characters, they were progressing, they were growing, they were going through and doing goofy shit. Like, we had that continuity, and that's what I would prefer to keep, is have that continuity and then let the world and story develop around them instead of, hey, I have a story, you guys get to play through it. But we've gone there, we've done that, we've had that discussion before. I don't know that we have anything to gain from having it again. So should we jump into the actual meat of the episode, what actually happens?
Let's do it. Take us away.
I don't know if you heard my synopsis. I don't really remember what happens.
Colin would like to talk about the meat of the episode. If you could just point him towards the meat.
Yeah. I have a lot to say. I just don't know about what.
Well, and I do think this was this episode in particular didn't have a whole lot of action points to it. I've complained about in the last two of sort of no forward motion, and I think this one accomplished a lot more than those did, but it didn't really have a lot of plot forward substance. I mean, it almost happened in a 24-esque real-time kind of situation. Like, they were downstairs, they were interviewed Billy for a little while, gave him his name, figured out that he can say duck, grow, and pizza, and nod. Or no, shake his head. I'm not sure if he can nod yet. And then we move into me visiting the Mothman.
Okay. So we got to back up here because
sure, take us there.
I really, really liked this episode because I felt like a lot happened.
Jake, give us that counterpoint monologue. You got 5 minutes.
Start my stopwatch. No, because so we open and we learn about, you know, this communication that's sort of growing, and we figure that out. And then we start to get some hints about what's going on. you know, what are they growing? We start to build these relationships that, again, no one was expecting to be built. You know, we got to spend a little bit of time in Justin Just Does Awesome, you know, hashtag Justin McElroy Appreciation Corner. Then Thacker escapes. Like, that's a pretty big deal. And it tells us things that we didn't know about Sylvain and things that we didn't know about his character and the relationship with the world that's there. So that was pretty cool. And then they go and they do talk to the Mothman. And they realize that this decision that Duck has made has changed things. And you can be a cynic like Colin and assume that this was built in and it didn't actually change things. But that's just a really boring way to listen to the story. We don't know what's coming next. And the fact that we know that it's caused ripples is really exciting to me.
Yeah, I...
You got like 3.5 minutes left, dog.
That was good. It was a good, concise little run-through, though. I mean, maybe Jake should take over summaries and Colin can just... I don't know. Become Colin cool lava. Hot lava.
What? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, Colin cool lava. Nope, still did it wrong. Anyway, so I think it's sort of interesting, though, because I think I'm taking it all in the lens of solving the larger mystery of the abominations. And I think that, in that regard, I didn't see a lot of things I could string together to turn into significant plot advancement. Now,
so the fact that they might be working for some higher power that's controlling things, it isn't a plot step in that direction.
Did that happen?
Yeah, but oh. I don't think that was ever. Like, I don't think that was ever off the table to start with. Like, the fact that there's something with a hand on the tiller we've talked about since early on. I mean,
yes, but we've talked about it, but we haven't really had the evidence to support it. Like, nothing has happened in the story to tell us otherwise. We have just had abominations come through the portal.
Well, we don't know that part either. I don't know that we know that they came through the portal.
Well, that might matter.
All right.
Because they are starting. I do think what is interesting is they are starting to very clearly draw the lines around Sylvain and how who Sylvans are and what Sylvans can be versus sort of otherly magical creatures. And whether from the bits we learned today about sort of the outlands of beast folk, or whether that comes from some other place. You know, if there's one planet, there's probably another one, and maybe that's how all these things are pulled together. I don't know. I guess, Jake, you're not wrong. You are 100% right. There are hints and things, and I think what I'm struggling with, perhaps, is more just a discontentment with the pacing.
Well,
that this is becoming a slow... that, and it's sort of from the outside. It's a slow mystery, not an exciting adventure. Well, and that's maybe what I want.
I was thinking about that earlier because I think we've mentioned it the past couple weeks. And I'm sort of with Jake that I think a lot did happen this episode.
Now, do you?
Yeah, because here's what I realize is like, I think, and Chris, you may be in the same boat, is I re-listen to Balance fairly often. I mean, not fairly often, but occasionally I re-listen to Balance. But I do it all so quickly. You just listen to it so quickly, you get used to a feeling of pace that isn't really there.
Right. Those high stakes story beats come much faster when you're listening to one an hour versus two a month.
Yeah, exactly. And like you forget that they actually spent half an episode in the Crystal Kingdom going matching wits with, you know, the buddy bot. And
right.
Failing miserably. And, you know, and I know we had a lot of these similar complaints when, like, a Stolen Sentry was coming out and things like that. But it's I think we kind of do ourselves a disservice by comparing the pacing of the re-listen to the pacing of the live releases. At least that's where I found the trap I found myself falling into. I can burn through all the balance in like a 3 week, 4 week period. Whereas in the same time zone, we're going to get two episodes of Amnesty if we're lucky. Maybe a live show in an Amnesty.
That's a fun point. I was just wondering if, I wonder what would happen if I went back right now and sort of blew through Commitment in a day, if my feelings about that would change.
Yeah, that's a good question. Or even Dust, because I think like mysteries don't seem like that big of mysteries when it takes you 4 hours to listen to it instead of, 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess, yeah, I think you're both making very valid points that I hadn't really framed it that way, but I think it is definitely a pacing thing that is what's getting to me, and that the focus is on building this mystery up and dropping clues in the way I suppose a good mystery is written. It's just if you were reading of the book version, you know, if you're comparing it to a mystery as a book, you can just keep going. Like any other mystery book I've read or sort of, you know, a heist novel or whatever, where they're dropping hints about things, they come much more frequently. I want to talk about that point now that you've made it, Colin. Do you think there's any disservice done to sort of Griffin's writing that it isn't coming out faster? That maybe other listeners like myself are experiencing these issues of pacing, and maybe we're feeling more down on the story than the thing that Griffin's created deserves?
I mean, maybe, but I don't know that there's a... I think that's part of the reason why this podcast deserves re-listens. The one thing that sort of... Like, I feel like the 2 weeks between episodes is there to allow Griffin to adapt to what happened in the last episode and figure out what's going to happen next. Design the next level of the dungeon, as it were, if mm-hmm. we were still in D&D and they ever went to actual dungeons. But I do wonder if, like, the story is already there, and there are certainly, maybe not 100%, it doesn't feel like this all the time, but there are certainly points where it just feels like the guys are playing Mad Libs. Like, Griffin's going to say something and leave a blank, you insert a adjective, and then you move on. And to the extent that is accurate, I don't know why they couldn't come out faster, except for the availability of the guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think I see that because we're here recording on Wednesday night before our podcast is supposed to come out tomorrow.
Right.
And, hey everybody, it's going to be late tomorrow. I'm probably going to try to edit it on the flight in the morning.
Another exciting edition of Where's Chris Editing Today?
Yeah, my new exciting two-tweet thread. Yeah, I mean, I think I understand all the logistical challenges. I sort of wonder if... I guess my wondering is if the sort of medium and pacing of podcasts is doing a disservice to Griffin's story. Like, if they decided that instead of releasing the podcast, that Adventure Zone was going to go on a... God forbid, 6 month hiatus, and they were going to sit down and record.
Oh, and do it prestige style and just drop it all at once?
Yeah, do we're doing Dust. Here's 40 episodes of Dust. They're coming out on Merry Christmas, you know, Happy Candle Nights, December 12th.
I mean, I would prefer, well, or even record them all and then drop them one day at a time or something, and just keep people engaged. I don't know that their advertisers would love if they dropped all 40 at once, but you so could. That's
the solve then. It's a Netflix series, animated series. You just throw some money at them and Carrie Peach and say, do it.
I mean, they've got a DreamWorks in now.
Yeah. Yeah. They could. I don't know why they couldn't. I mean,
I know why they couldn't, but
maybe it's a bi-monthly fruit basket. Have we considered that?
I mean, no, but what's the fruit basket is in place of the podcast?
Right. Instead of the podcast.
You just have a very curated selection of fruits that tell a story.
Right.
So instead of a Totino's promotion, it's an Edible Arrangements promotion?
Correct.
Or Harry and David? The Adventure Zone, presented by Harry and David. Here's a box of pears. They're all sour.
Chiquita. Just, you know, whoever.
And
whoever
so instead
owns the Honeycrisp apple
instead
thing.
Instead of good roleplay, we just get, like, seasonal fruits.
Or, you know, maybe you get some good rolls. Those aren't fruits, to be clear. There would be bread.
Here's the thing. I don't not want this.
Of course.
It just seems so different from what I've been conditioned by the media to want.
But see, that's how they get you. It's all about the media. You know?
They say into podcast. Their microphones so they can put things on the internet.
Yeah. Wait, are we the media?
I mean, we are three white dudes, so pretty much.
We're what's wrong with the media.
Because I'm going into work tomorrow and referring to myself as the media.
I don't imagine that going great for anyone, really.
Colin, the media Hannafin.
Well, no, that sounds pretentious.
Oh, that's the line. We lost it for a minute, but then it showed up real quick.
Oh, so it's a Mike the Situation Sorrentino thing where you're just the situation.
I didn't know he had a last name. No, I'm just going to tell people what I heard the media say, and it'll just be stuff that I said. But I can play it off as the media said it.
I don't like this.
Should we get back to the episode? No? Okay. I'm fine with that.
So let's talk more about Thacker. What do y'all think? How do you feel about that?
I feel confused, but that probably tracks for our listeners. I don't understand. And I think my largest question is, what was the impetus for his aggression? His newfound freedom, the presence of the goat man, or the presence of the pine guard?
No, I imagine it's a combination of his freedom and whatever force helped let him out.
But so I guess what I am driving at, though, is that if he is all of this time holding in that level of aggression, waiting for an opportunity, I think it belies a greater intelligence and awareness than we've been told that, like, a kind of feral Thacker has right now. Which is fine if that's the point we think they're making. But it just seems like if he's been biding his time this whole time to wait for something to happen, some opportunity to then spring out,
I think that's the difference, though, is because, sure, he might have been waiting, but I imagine, like, whatever power caused the ropes to slip or whatever probably influenced him too.
Well, is there another power that caused the ropes to slip?
Well, that's what happened, was the snows came in, and this thing happened.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And Ingrid called about it.
Yeah.
Ingrid.
In Mothman.
In Mothman, we trust.
Well.
Kinda.
Well.
Yeah, think about it.
Well, I don't.
All right. That's a fair point. Is he a benevolent character or not? But so I guess what I'm sort of wondering is if there's if this power, this whatever this external force is, has the power to sort of manipulate the physical environment and now possibly manipulate the emotions of various living beings. The shit they're up to is pretty small potatoes if that's their skill set.
Well, they have to stay within so many miles of the gate, don't they?
I mean, we've just sort of invented this Howler power. I don't know that any rules currently apply necessarily. Well,
if they are a bomb, they are obligated to stay, or they are unable to go beyond a certain point to the gate. I think that was like in that was something I believe Griffin mentioned like super early.
One of the I think episodes. A radius definitely came up, but then so that I just feel like, you know, like a good mystery, this raises more questions than it answers.
And I like that.
I like that voice. We're
still at an early place in the story.
What character voice was that? Because I liked it.
That's frustrated Jake.
No, not that one. Chris's.
Oh.
We all know what frustrated Jake sounds like.
Come on, Jake.
So let's.
That's my secret, Captain. I'm always. Then
I want to hit. I want to hit high notes to take us out. Then, because if we're talking about this episode, presumably opening the door to the first hints of what the big plot line is, what our overarching plot line is, it's that there is an external force manipulating both Sylvan and Earth animals and forces to some sort of gain, presumably, the results of which so far have only been sort of death and destruction on the Earth side. What do you think this force wants?
To destroy the world? I mean, we know Duck's premonition, right?
Yeah.
Wait, how are you guys getting the idea that it's an overarching force as opposed to just another bomb?
Because when they're interrogating Billy, he sort of hints at there is the possibility of a controlling thing that is making them do stuff. Now,
is it with the word grow or pizza that you got there?
It was one of the well-placed shakes of head.
I don't know that I reached the same conclusion.
Well, then I want to reach even farther, and I've come to a conclusion. It's the interpreter. The interpreter, who we know harbors pretty deep aggression towards humans, is launching
an aggressive campaign
to destroy Earth. And what they want to grow is a new home for Sylvans. But first they have to kill all humans.
See, I thought I spin that another way. Like, if
right round,
you can,
right round.
If you can cause enough conflict to start another war, that gives the Sylvans all the cover they need to.
Wartime leadership means for quick decisions.
Yeah. To like move in and just take over.
Yeah, but like all of the bombs have to stay within like 2 miles of the gate in the woods outside of Kepler, West Virginia.
So grow. Maybe the goat beings are being compelled to clear an area to grow a new crystal, which is the source of Sylvan power, so that they can extend their reach farther into the world.
But the crystal
is tied to the heart of the planet of Sylvain, and if they grew one here, maybe it would tie to the heart of the Earth, giving them unlimited range on the planet.
Colin,
just accept that Chris and I are right here.
There's no way, first of all, there's no way that there isn't going to be a welcome to Earth moment, which I really hope this is all this.
Who says it? Wait, who gets to say it? It's Ned, isn't it?
It's Ned, but
he fucks it up.
He's going to fuck it up. He's going
to say
welcome
back to Earth. And then everybody groans. Says, thanks, Will Smith. You really Jeff Goldblum that one. Independence Day.
I would honestly think all of our complaints will have been worth it if that's the climax of the whole amnesty, whatever. Whatever this is. Podcast, show, chapter, series. I'm getting there. It's one of those. I don't know what to call it.
I don't know, but maybe we should start trying to record like at breakfast time. Maybe we should get ourselves closer to coffee.
Okay. Was the one small issue I had with the episode is they have that scene with Thacker and they lock him into the safe room.
Yeah.
And then Griffin goes, okay, I assume you all go to Mothman's and you're all there.
Yep.
So that, and I don't know if it's technically railroading, but like that's such a leap for him to make instead of saying to the players, okay, what do you guys do now?
Right. Because I think there's, I still hold some questions about where the fuck Mama is, which appears to be just like she's going to show up at the end of segments and sort of be there and is not going to be a main character like I thought she would maybe be.
It feels very directorial of her, like Madam Director.
Yeah, sort of stepping in at the end. I still want to know what Barclay said to Agent Stern, and also how soundproof is their sort of lair downstairs that Agent Stern didn't hear, like, this giant commotion happening with potions flying around and whatever.
Maybe he's just not a good FBI agent.
I mean, that does seem to be possible. Or, he might not be a good investigator, but maybe he's a great FBI agent. He is currently fucking running up that per diem tab out in Kepler, kicking it in the woods, enjoying the hot springs. Doesn't need no leads. He's got all the time in the world. He's playing the government like a fiddle.
That's not a bad point.
Maybe he's a good guy. Agent Stern's the good guy.
Is he the one who says welcome to Earth? Because Griffin doesn't trust his players not to fuck it up?
I mean, if he's going to railroad them to that situation, I'm fine with. So here's the out. If Griffin wants to turn the Adventure Zone into a remake of Independence Day and just sort of tell the story himself, this podcast is on board.
Yep.
No complaints. Nailed it. Maybe a little more Jeff Goldblum, but you know, can't win them
all. Now is it Goldblum or Goldblum?
Well, for fear of the internet, I don't really want to come down on either side of it.
Yeah. Jeff, if you're listening, please tell us.
I've only heard him say.
Can I call you Jeff?
That when people ask him that, he tells them all the same thing, and that is, "How dare you talk to me?"
That's perfect.
But I legitimately don't know how to say his name. Jeff, is it a soft J? Yef.
Well, on that note, thanks so much for listening to We Do That, a Taz Fancast. Jeff, we're just so glad you're here with us every 2 weeks, hanging out for 30 to 60 minutes, giving us your time. And we're not speaking to you, just know we would never deem to think we could do that well, but we like to think we're speaking around you. And that's enough for us. Special thanks to The Early. Come find us on Twitter. Bye, everybody.